Yeah, it's me again, your friend Dan. And I don't have an outline again. I am up. It is almost 1 a.m., more or less 1 a.m., on Thursday, August the 26th, 2021. And I am sitting here in a room by myself contemplating the meaning of my protein wax. I wonder, are my bones strong enough to carry whatever grisly burden I must bury? Will I be traveling to the deserts to seek out the forbidden camel? Will I be hunted by witches? Will I be hunted by witches? In the evening time, as the sun goes down, will I be hunted by the witch army of Crobion 18? I find myself drowning. And I'm not the only one. I think there are a lot of folks out there who feel like they've been treading water for about, 18 months. And now it's starting to feel like we're drowning, or at least some of us are. And I know it's the right answer, right? Just block out the negative, keep in the positive. Focus on whatever thing you need to focus on and think happy thoughts, right? I wish I could do that. I wish I were like that person, but in a way, I'm kind of glad I'm not. You see, whatever disappointments are confronting you, people like me, and there's more than just one of me, people like me, like us, other people, we've been dealing with disappointments for quite a while. So I'm not really that disappointed yet. If I am disappointed, I'm disappointed in my fellow human being. Not at the circumstances we find ourselves in. History, existence, whatever our circumstances, things happen, right? You have to respond to them. But people are, in the most fundamental sense, giving up. You want a definition of giving up? My way or the highway? My way or the highway? If you don't do it my way, I'll put you on the highway so somebody runs over you. My way or the highway? One way of looking at giving up is saying there's only one way. There's only one way. There are these weird freaks on social media. One example is this guy that calls himself Road to Serfdom 3. He claims there's only one way, his way, and if we don't do it his way, we can't possibly win. You want a definition of giving up? Giving up is telling people there's only one way. If you're some crypto freak, God bless you, how you spend your time is your own goddamn business. But if you spend all day trying to convince me that the only way you can be an anarchist now is if you mine crypto, then you also, sir or ma'am, have given up. I'm not saying don't mine crypto, but what I will say is pretty straightforward. A, it's a tool. Don't be one yourself. And B, it's not the only way. It might not even be close to the only way. In fact, it could even be a distraction, but it's not the only way. If someone tells you my way or the highway, they have given up. They're not positive. They're not optimistic. You know, one of the things people didn't get about President Obama is that his administration tended to do a lot of the it's my way or the highway. And that's probably true of every administration. But he did a really good job of packaging it as hope. And he did a pretty good job of packaging opposition as being opposed to doing anything at all. No. In fact, if you tell me there's only one way, Mr. President, whoever you are, and I kind of think it's a joke, so it's kind of like talking to Bigfoot. But Mr. Bigfoot, if you tell me there's just one way, I say you have given up. Very few things in this world that involve anything non-trivial have just one solution. I'm not talking about mathematics, but if you think life is as simple as mathematics, you're clearly flawed. It might be the case that a particular mathematical problem only has one solution. But I would even contend that even in the world of mathematics, this is rarely the case. There are often many ways of reaching the same conclusion. It is the case that both Newton and Leibniz discovered calculus at the same time, and they did it in different ways. So if you tell people the only way you can possibly solve a problem is, well, you got to mine the crypto if you don't do that, or you better arrest local officials like that crazy road to serfdom idiot. If you say to people there's just one way, I say you've given up. I say you don't remotely understand the fecundity, the power, the energy of freedom. In a free world, there are many ways we can solve problems. There are probably many solutions that are more or less the same. And yeah, there are probably some good ones and bad ones. But life is not as simple as there's just one right answer. If Eric Schmidt, one of the Google douches, goes on some TV show and tell some interviewer that in an ideal world, Google would just give one answer, Mr. Schmidt, shithead, you have given up. In an ideal world, we would want as many potential answers to choose from as we could possibly find. Yes, it's up to you to use your common sense, to use your logic, and if you fail, fine. But to say there's just one right answer is crazy. It's not just that you've given up, you are insane. People are saying, in positions of authority, follow the science. I believe in science. But science is a tool. So it'd be like saying, follow the hammer. I believe in the hammer. Follow the screwdriver. I believe in the screwdriver. Follow that, you know what I'm saying? It's just dumb. Science is an analytical tool that we use to understand the world. When you treat it like a belief system where certain things just have to be true and there's only one solution, you're limiting the world and you're not really doing science. But my way or the highway, right? My way or the highway. Thank you. I don't know how much time I want to spend on my way or the highway, but so many people think they have the answer and there's only one answer. All I can tell you is that there isn't one answer, and if you want a fighting chance at surviving in this crazy world, embrace the possibility that there are often more than one solution to a problem. And often there are a couple, two or three solutions that are reasonably good. And when we become fixated on perfection, when we become fixated on things perfectly aligning, that's when we often screw up. And that also kind of relates to a misunderstanding of the world. You know, when we see the world like it's a machine we built, we're not seeing it right. We build toys. Compared to nature, we build toys. We build tiny little toys that do little tiny things. But they are not remotely equivalent to what nature produces. But what we do is we take our toy experience, our experience with our simple machines, and we apply that to the world around us. Because clearly, our way is the way, and if the universe doesn't fit our way, well, then we'll make it fit. Did you know that during the Cold War, when our good friend Edward Teller was alive, and if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me discuss this one before. Did you know he had a project called Operation Plowshares? Operation Plowshares was a project to use nuclear weapons to do things like create ports, you know, to carve out a port for ships, to frack for natural gas, to build giant canals in Africa. Edward Teller proposed using nuclear weapons as a way to shape the world, and I don't even think he meant it ironically or as a joke. He was probably a creepy guy. There's reason to believe that the composite character Dr. Strangelove is partially based on Edward Teller. If you're familiar with the Star Wars program from the 80s, he was one of the chief project managers. But again, the Star Wars program itself was probably mostly BS. So Edward Teller was in charge of BS. The my way or the highway, there's only one way people are a lot like the people who treat the world like it's a simple machine. Edward Teller probably saw the planet as a simple machine. You want to create a port where you can park your boats? Just set off a giant hydrogen bomb someplace and now you have a port. You want to create a canal? Just set off a lot of nuclear weapons and you can have a canal. You want to frack for natural gas? Well then, take a 5-kiloton device in, you know, New Mexico or Colorado or a couple other places. Call it Operation Gas Buggy and frack for natural gas with a nuclear weapon. Because you got to trust the science. I don't know. I feel like I was treading water for 18 months and now I'm drowning. And all the people are saying they've got the answer, but there's only one answer. It's kind of crazy. I do think there is one answer to human society. It's called freedom, but freedom is a big word and it doesn't mean one thing. I do think with certainty that that's the way we should live, but I don't know that we're going to live that way. And I was one of those folks several years ago when I first understood who I was, not a libertarian, not a George F. Will small government Republican, but rather someone who simply wants to live free and has no interest in keeping freedom from others. You know, when I first saw it that way, I was more optimistic, but maybe. And this is the pessimism. Maybe people are just so used to being treated like animals, like prisoners. They're so used to being tortured, they would be shocked to not be tortured. They're so used to their trauma, they can't remotely deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. They just want more trauma. ¶¶ So I am up at 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. or whatever time it is. I can't sleep because I don't feel like I can sleep, right? I know that's circular. I can't sleep because I can't allow myself a sense of peace. It just doesn't, I can't find it. I can't find that sense of peace that so many people have. I can put myself into a stupor. I can self-medicate myself into a coma. But my moments of clarity are just an obvious pain at the train wreck that so many people want to be on, that so many people want to participate in, the train wreck. I see a train wreck and everyone else sees Disneyland. I don't understand. And I don't think it's that simple. I think a lot of people are beginning to see the train wreck, but it just doesn't really probably matter. I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to think. Are we supposed to think the people in charge are so brilliant that they can order us to have medical procedures? Are we supposed to believe the people in charge are so dumb that they can't possibly carry on a PSYOP, Dan? But if they're so dumb that they can't do a PSYOP, then why would you listen to them about a medical procedure? Because that's what taking a vaccination is. You see, I'm trying to unravel the thought processes of many folks, but specifically a lot of anarchists and libertarians. On the one hand, they'll tell me government's incompetent, check. Taxation is theft, check. They're grifters, they're scumbags, check, check, check. But then in the next, you know, commentary, they'll say things like, well, Dan, Illuminati, secret organizations, super powerful central bankers, you can't control them. They're so powerful. They're so smart. Pick a lane. I've said this before, but I feel like it bears repeating again and again. If you're an anarchist who's convinced that government cannot fail, then you're really a nihilist in a way. And you should just form your own cabal or accept your nihilism. I don't think it's as simple as one or the other. I will tell you this, these grifters are clever. And cleverness can take you a long way. These grifters have had a credit card for 100 years plus called the Federal Reserve. And a big credit card plus being clever can take you a long way. But eventually you run out of credit. And eventually, no matter how clever you are, time catches up with you. Eventually, time catches up. So are they super smart grifters, the people that think they run the world? Are they Bond villains capable of intricate plans that take centuries to execute? You know, I don't know. If they're Bond villains, they seem pretty inept and very inefficient. And if in fact they are part of some super secret cabal, it doesn't seem like the secret's being kept. But what if, again, the simplest explanation is these are people, and they're probably not the best people. They're probably a lot of pretty rotten people who seek power. They'll say things like, I want to help people, but they want to help people, you know, at the point of a gun. And if that's your solution to any problem, I don't care if it's healthcare or the environment or any of the list of issues you think are issues. If you have to use a gun to make sure people do something, you've already failed. You've already guaranteed you're going to fail. I think the truth is a lot of people in government are just, you know, It's a mixture. There are people who want to help, quote unquote, and they don't care if they have to use force. There are people who just want a job and it pays them a paycheck. I know these people too. Probably the vast middle of our government is made up of people that just want a job or think they're helping people. It doesn't matter how confused they are, and it doesn't matter if there's a future in what they're doing. I think that's what they believe. But at any echelon or level where people can make decisions, yeah, you probably find a lot of sociopaths. You probably find people who simply want to play with the lives of others. I see zero indication thus far in my life that our government fixes anything, solves anything. I see lots of indications that it creates more problems than it solves. And there's, I think, evidence to believe that some problems the government hopes never go away. I don't think the government wants poverty to go away. You know, they'll say they want a war on poverty. It's ironically named. I don't think they want terrorism to go away. They'll say they're fighting a war on terror, but it is ironically named. They don't want any of those things to go away. So I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm barely treading water. I am making money and I got the food and I got the water and I got shelter and I do have what you could call the components of a life, but I feel like life has been on hold and I know I'm not the only one. There's no way to plan, not in the world as we're being told it's created, not as of right now. There's no way to plan around this COVID nonsense. It makes no sense. There's no way to plan around any of the gender or race war garbage. There's no way to envision a future around any of it. None of it makes sense. It shouldn't make any sense. President Biden, I think that his main role is to spout nonsense at this point and to confuse people. And I don't know what people's feelings are about the Taliban and Afghanistan. But the nicest thing I could say is we should have never done it in the first place, and it's good that it's over. But it might not be over, right? It might just be its own little trauma drama designed to keep people hooked into this thing for as long as it lasts. I just don't see it lasting much longer. It's like the podcast thing. I have friends in my life who've discussed it with me, like, you know, maybe you could become successful, but I don't really see a future in it. I don't. I don't really see that. Well, I don't see how the internet as it currently exists is going to survive what's coming. And I have a good friend who makes a point, well, Dan, you know, that's why we're doing the shortwave thing. And I think that makes sense. Shortwave radio is potentially one of those tools by which people could still share information across great distances if things go sideways. But I just don't know how sideways things are going to go. I just don't know. You know, in the previous podcast, I talked about the clathrate gun briefly because I don't want to freak people out. You don't need more things to be afraid of. I will state unequivocally, without equivocation, maybe that's easier to say at 1:30 a.m. I will say without equivocation, I will say without equivocation, it's better that we don't have more things to be afraid of. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what we should be doing right now. One answer is just live your life every day as it is, but that was barely tenable for the 10 years leading up to 2019, including that year. For those 10 years, just living life for a lot of people wasn't that straightforward. I know there are people who want to believe that, you know, we recovered from the great financial crisis, but that might not be true. A lot of that might be papered over too. There might never have been an actual recovery. It might have been really just a big accounting gimmick. And a lot of people were just ignored. And no one was really too concerned that their way of life and their existence was being steamrolled. But I think a lot of folks were barely treading water for the decade prior to the monkey herpes, prior to the COVID. So what do you call it after that? If you were treading water for 10 years, what do you call it after that? You want to say people are standing on their feet on the shore, having a barbecue, God bless, maybe you are. But a lot of people are drowning. And there's a lot of callousness and a lot of folks who just don't get it and don't want to get it and don't want to understand. And the easiest answer is to say, well, it's because they're scum. It's because they bought that phone plan and they have that cable plan. Listen to yourself. You sound like Germany. Germany screaming at Greece. Well, Greece spent money it didn't have. Greece bought things it shouldn't have. Greece. You know what, Germany? Greece was using the credit card that it fraudulently got when it entered the EU, a credit card that allowed your economy to do pretty well. So complaining about Greece being, you know, profligate and debt-ridden, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And for all you folks out there that want to complain about poor people having cable plans or poor people having phones, do you understand that a lot of that stuff is subsidized, which means it's really your Stalinist government that makes it happen? And B, if they stop doing those things, the little bit of wind left in this sham of an economy would disappear. Keep complaining about poor people having stuff you don't have. Keep playing that game. I promise you, if there are people who believe they're in charge, if those people exist, they love it when we attack each other like that. They are excited by the fact that we turn on each other because some people have money and other people don't. But it's so easy, these simple answers. These simple, easy answers. Well, I'm a real estate agent, Dan, and I work really hard. I'm a banker, and I work really hard. Well, maybe you do. But have you thought much about the world you work in? A lot of people are drowning. A lot of people are no longer treading water. They're sinking. And I don't even remotely understand why so many people are cavalier about it. One of the things that people might not get is that kindness does not equal communism, and kindness does not equal altruism. Kindness does not equal a sham. Creatures, social creatures, and we are social creatures, whether you want to admit it or not, we have our own private world, we have our own private stuff, but kindness is a feature of what keeps us from basically falling apart. Kindness can't be replicated. You can't pass a law making people kind. But what you'll discover, I hope, in this world, if things get bad enough, is that there are kind people out there who will help. There are people that are drowning and there are people that are kind. I know that this is true. This is a real ramble, isn't it? This is a real rant, a real ramble. I don't even know. Maybe I should never turn on the recorder. There is no outline. I have no notes, just like the last rant. I don't know what inspired me other than I felt like screaming. And maybe it's the craziest thing in the world to scream into space, and that's what I'm doing. But I just felt like doing it. There are so many things in your life that become less relevant when you have to deal with, for example, somebody you love dying. A lot of things you take seriously, you start to wonder, are these really important? When my mom and sister died of cancer, and it happened in relatively short succession, mom 2010, sister 2012, when they died of cancer, and I'm speaking for myself because I have siblings who listen, so they could probably have their own opinion, but when they died of cancer, I looked at a lot of things in my life and I shook my head. I wondered why I was doing them. I wondered why I was involved. I had questions. And those years were particularly hard because, like the rest of you, I was trying to tread water in a world where I was told, again, we were all told, we were all kind of gaslit. If you don't recall, in the summer of 2010, Joseph Biden, President Biden now, mayor of Washington, D.C., he went around the country on the Recovery Summer Tour. That was the summer of 2010, 11 years ago. 11 years ago, he went around the country for President Obama to tell people everything was fine. He went around talking about shovel-ready jobs. But that was a snow job. That was gaslighting. None of that was real. All this talk of infrastructure, money, blah, blah, blah. If you want to understand this. If they could print more money, they would. And they will. And they'll do it until it ends. But I think they're just trying to keep it going long enough. They're trying to keep it going a certain amount of time. They don't know the time. They don't control the time. That's another thing about this. They don't control the schedule, but they're trying to run out the clock. But why would you run out the clock? What are you running it out on? You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if this is a good example, but it's sort of like when you're trying to link up with someone. You're in a car, someone else is in a car, and you say, we're going to meet at this place at this time. But if your friend isn't there at that gas station or restaurant, you might listen to the radio, you might go around the block, you might go into that bookstore across the way. There are lots of things you might do to spin your wheels until they show up. So one of these angles on this whole they don't control the schedule is, well, maybe they're waiting for somebody or someone to show up, or something. Someone or something to show up. Could be Starship Jesus. If you hear me say Starship Jesus and you're a Christian, you can translate that as Antichrist. One of the interesting things of the recent months has been the discussion of disclosure. But disclosure seems like the Satanic Bible's version of Revelation, doesn't it? So I don't know. It could be they're waiting on Starship Jesus. He's parked behind the moon. The moon is made of paper. He's going to pop through the moon, go ta-da, ta-da, and there you go. Starship Jesus shows up, and all of our problems will be fixed, but not for free. But when you think about the mission, one of the described missions of the Antichrist in prophecy, one of the missions or one of the goals is to turn people against each other. Brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters, families torn apart. It seems like we're almost there. Like if that's one of the destinations, to turn people against each other, it seems like we're well on our way. It's not everybody, it's not everywhere. You know, where I'm at in Utah, people still seem relatively sane and relatively friendly. And I know the people I'm living with, that I'm renting a room from, are good people. But I also know that a lot of families have been stressed by this. And there's been a lot of division and a lot of very cruel rhetoric on all sides. You know, I for one simply want the evidence, of which I've seen very little. But then that's a lot like saying you want the evidence after 9/11 while they're melting it down to make it into, you know, God knows what. I mean, you want the evidence for a crime, but the people that would prosecute the crime are probably the criminals. This is never going to happen. But I want to know the truth. I don't know the truth. I don't believe it's what we've been told, but I don't know the truth. I don't. I simply can recognize some lies. And that's where we're at. It is August 2021. I wake up every morning wondering to myself, is this going to be the last day that I have electricity for a while? And maybe indefinitely. I wonder if this is the last day we're going to have predictable water for a while and maybe indefinitely. I wonder if the ability to lie about what's really going on will fail, and if we'll figure out the truth. I don't really know. They're so good at lying. They're so good at deception. This is a skill they are good at. And then when I do compare all of this with the prophecy I understand, and I don't claim to understand at all, it all seems to match up pretty well, so well that if this wasn't either just before or during the end times, then I would be inclined to ask a lot of questions about my faith. And I don't want it to be the end times. I simply want what I think a lot of people want. I want it to make sense. I can't make sense of it right now. A few years ago, I called this the great discontinuity, and I stick to that. But if I didn't emphasize this, I'll emphasize it again. One of the features of this discontinuity, this discontinuous time in history, is that everybody feels unsettled all the time. I have, you know, in previous podcasts, described this as a kind of motion sickness. And so if you feel the motion sickness, that means you're probably closer to the truth than a lot of people who are covering it up and pretending it's not there. But many of us, we can feel the motion sickness. We can feel there's something rumbling underneath our feet. And I don't know what it is. I don't think or believe it is any of the things that have been described, but who knows? Anything could happen. Maybe I'm just going insane. You know, I struggle with the question of sanity because it's come up in many podcasts. And, you know, we've had a couple, like with my good friend Mike in Seattle, where we've talked about a man by the name of Foucault. And the philosopher Foucault had a few things to say about stuff like sanity. And one of the things that, you know, our good friend Foucault might say is that sanity, as we understand it, is historically and systemically contingent. It depends upon the time you're in and the system you're in. And depending upon those two factors, you might be crazy, you might be sane. During the Middle Ages, people who were insane were sometimes classified as being possessed. In ancient times, people who were insane were sometimes regarded in spiritual terms that were more positive, in terms of being an oracle or having a connection to something beyond. If you go way back, often I think crazy people became shamans. They became medicine men. Who knows? And I'm not even saying it was a good idea. Like, it might have simply been the one solution people could come up with, but they didn't know more than what they knew. And they embraced the mystery and tried to deal with it as best they could. So madness became wisdom, and wisdom became madness. I have discussed the book of Ecclesiastes before, and I've said maybe people who aren't even religious should read it, and I mean read the whole thing, because if it was written by King Solomon, it was also written by somebody that suffered from depression. If you read it, you kind of get that point, really. Somebody who suffered from depression, and yet, even though he suffered from depression, probably, he managed to find a way through it and to explain the world in terms where people could achieve resolution. Because if everything is meaningless, if everything has nothing to it, if everything is just here today, gone tomorrow, then maybe all you're left with is God and God's love, or nothing. You have God's love or you have nothing. But again, I'll leave that up to you to figure that out if you're crazy. People are called crazy today if they don't agree with the status quo. They're called crazy if they don't want to get a vaccination that apparently doesn't work, but we're all told we need to have. It doesn't make any sense, but it's sane to believe the vaccine makes sense, and it's crazy to question it. It's crazy to question the authorities with respect to any of the narratives. It is crazy to doubt the existence in any valid way of any of these BLM, Antifa, commie infestations. I've seen them close up. They are fake as F. They are fake. They are staged. But people need to believe. And because they believe, they're not crazy. But if you no longer have faith that this system can produce for you, you're crazy. If you are so buried by debt and chaos, you're crazy. If you don't want to take out a mortgage on a new home, well, really not a new home, something you're never going to own, something you'll always pay taxes on until the system disappears, you're crazy. If you don't buy Bitcoin, you're crazy. If you don't invest in the stock market, you're crazy. But like I said, our good friend Foucault would say that definition depends upon who's in power. It depends upon history. It depends upon the system. One society's crazy person is another person's shaman. One society's wise man or wise woman is another crazy person that you need to commit to the asylum. I can't tell you that I know if crazy is even a thing. Maybe the best definition of crazy is, can you functionally work or survive in the world you exist in? So in a sense, crazy is defined operationally. Can you fit into that society? If you can't, you're crazy. Have you ever seen THX 1138? It has Robert Duvall in it. And I think it was one of George Lucas's first films, I think. THX 1138. It is a sci-fi movie from the 70s starring Robert Duvall as the sort of main character drone who's got a shaved head and lives a bland, techno-futuristic life. And listen, he's got everything he needs. He just has to, you know, do his job at the nuclear plant and go visit phone booth Jesus when he needs to. But at one point in the movie, he stops taking the drugs he's supposed to take. That's crazy. He starts looking at women like they're attractive. That's really crazy. He starts wanting to have fulfilling relationships with his roommate, who's a female. Ginger. Wow, that's crazy. And so he is insane, and he is chased by robots and holograms and all the technology until the system decides that it is not economically worthwhile to continue the pursuit, which is perfectly sane. But Robert Duvall, as he cracks open the doorway, as he cracks open the hatch to the real world, at the end of the film, he's just sitting up there, and one wonders what wasteland he sees. Could be radioactive, could be covered in swamps, could be covered in Bigfoot eggs, could be covered in bats, could be covered in rats, could be 6 inches of bacteria that will burn you and eat you alive. Because Robert Duvall is crazy. And maybe that's it. Maybe the cruel dance of existence is partially entwined with this predilection on the part of conscious creatures to lie to each other. Like, what if one of the flaws of consciousness, what if one of the real problems with awareness is that once you become aware, you can lie. You can deceive. You can tell Grimbo you don't have that banana. You can lie to your chimp friends. You can lie to your ape wife. A little bit of consciousness goes a long way. Perhaps a measure of consciousness is the ability to lie. Perhaps not the only one. I have been told that autistic folks don't understand lies, but at the same time, they have a weird kind of consciousness, so who knows? But one could say that all things being equal, one of the potential features of consciousness that becomes not simply easy, but simply becomes possible, is lying. I can't imagine the concept of a lie with a creature that is unconscious, that simply responds with instinct, with biology. If you don't have consciousness, how would you lie? You could be in error, you could make mistakes, but there's no way you could lie. So we became aware, and then we started lying to each other. And maybe it started out as one ape lying to another using the simple language of an ape about a banana hidden behind a stump. Who knows? Maybe it started out as that kind of deception. I am certain that there are animal behaviorists, people who study animal psychology, who will tell you that deception and lying is not necessarily just a human thing. That where you find intelligent creatures, you find deception, you find lying, and you find murder. Like unconscious creatures, bacteria, viruses, amoeba, alligators probably, they can kill you, but do they murder? But creatures that have consciousness, even a little, they might get angry and vindictive and have a kind of protean hate. And they might just kill the kill sometimes. So here we are in the great ocean of lies, surrounded by conscious beings, all of whom are perfectly sane. And you're out there and you're treading water, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're sinking. But as you're sinking, you're being gaslit by all the other clever monkeys who are barely alive themselves, and they're telling you things have never been better. Things have never been greater. Cars have never been faster. Life has never been easier. As you drown, these are the things you're being told. So who's crazy, right? If you feel like you're drowning in that metaphorical sense, I don't think you're crazy. If you believe you're being lied to, potentially on a historical, epical scale, I don't think you're crazy. If you believe there's more to what's going on than the monkey herpes or the race wars or any of the other nonsense you're being fed, I don't think you're crazy. But if you think there's one way that all of this will be solved, one magical trick, there's just one answer, there's one solution. If you think that's the case, I think you're doomed, and I think you're crazy. I think that you've given up, and I think you're insane. To believe there is simply one way to solve a problem, in all cases, is a kind of madness. It is a meticulous, obsessive madness. And I say, you're crazy. But what do I know? Because I'm Crazy McGee. I live on planet 3. I live on the great celestial plane. And I travel on this orbis just like you. And where are we going to? We don't know. We're just drifting through space at thousands of miles per hour. Maybe we're heading towards a distant star. Maybe we're heading towards a lost galaxy. Maybe we're heading deeper into our pain. Maybe we're heading deeper into our past. Maybe we're leaving behind the scars of yesteryear. Maybe all we need is another beer. Maybe we're crazy. You see, consciousness lets you do the lying and the deceiving, and consciousness lets you do the hating. But really, is there madness without consciousness? Is there really? Can you say any creature is insane if they can't possibly be aware? In some sense, to be insane is a proof that you are conscious, that you are there. To be crazy is a kind of proof that there is a soul or a mind or whatever you want to call it, mind stuff going on inside your brain case. And one could even say the absence of sanity, the absence of crazy, the impossibility of insanity could only be true of things that cannot think. Because they cannot lie, they cannot deceive, they cannot also know what is true. There are things that they can't do and they will never be because they can't even be aware of those things in the first place. So am I crazy or are you? Am I the madman or are you the one staring into the hole? Are you crazy? Are you insane? Are you currently doing lots of cocaine? Are you traveling in a spaceship? Are you heading towards a distant star? Are you picking up a girl at a bar? Are you falling in love? Or are you crazy? I don't know. But I know I feel crazy.